Okay. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, I have just only one troubler of Israel. I don't need to mention the name. Praise the Lord. That is good. It keeps the journey lively. Thank you. Praise the Lord. People tell me, the day I preach well, I will eat good food. The day I don't preach well, then we will shock you with whatever is available. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Please take your seat. Let me say, once again, welcome to everyone who is a part of this great gathering. And then a very big thanks and congratulations to our convener, Pastor Fembakere, for the tremendous job you've been doing over the years. I read scripture, some of the things that informs my opinion, that guides my philosophy to life. I read in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, that there were, in the church that was at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. So I strongly believe that there can be ministry within ministry. That if there's a ministry that one will express the grace and the calling of God in their life in an assembly, and they are not led to go and found a church, you don't have to force them to go and find a church. Perhaps there won't be many founders today if some ministry gifts have a conducive environment to serve within, to express their grace within a local church. So, in Port Harcourt, we see all men of music ministers, they just pick dates. For me, you can do ministry within ministry. You can finish this work. No man can finish it. If there's anyone who has grace to do anything, to provide the facility, let them be a blessing to the world. That's what I'm called out for. Praise the Lord. No one can be everything. So we appreciate God for what you're doing and the great job you're doing. And I want to welcome the Port Harcourt contingent. When they introduced you today, I was shocked. And of course, Dignes Dupe and all those that came, the wife of our convener, I was gisting about you before we came here today. God bless you, good woman. Don't mind me, I'm not going to preach like Apostle Femi was preaching, like a house on fire. Praise the Lord. I don't think I would do that. It's not all the time that you... Something was burning in his heart when he was shouting the way he was shouting. I felt a little sorry for the church when I was preparing for this meeting. The church of Jesus, particularly the church of Christ in Nigeria. I felt a little bit sorry. The reason for feeling that way was that the church is high on motivation but low on doctrine. Think about that. We are high on motivation, very low in doctrine. those fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith. The things that someone who says a Christian must subscribe to. They're hardly taught. You will make it. You don't want to make it. You're not saying amen. I didn't prophesy. I prophesy you will make it. Now, there's a room for that. But if that is all the church is built on, it's a problem. And I want to take a sample. Listen to the sermons on the television. Listen to the radio. Visit churches. What we hear is tilted. Visiting to this area. Apostle Paul sent for the elders of the church in Acts chapter 20. Say, you know what? I have not failed to declare to you all the counsel of God. Where I need to motivate you, I did. Where I need to teach doctrine, I did. Where I need to, I have presented all. So the church of Jesus Nigeria, as huge as it is, as exciting as it is to be a part of the church, and by the way, a lot of nations envy us, envy Nigerian Christianity, but it's high on motivation, low on doctrine. I pray God will bring us to a place of balance. Because that's what can produce stability. That's what can lead to vibrant believers. That's my first observation. It's the first thing I want to say. The second thing I want to say tonight, which is preparing us for what I'm going to share, is that some subjects of the Bible are difficult. And perhaps, maybe that informs the reason why many pastors just to be on the safe side. It is well with you. As you go this week, you're going to come back with your testimony. You're going to before Christmas, your car will arrive. Your visa will arrive. Your baby will arrive. Yeah, somebody who believes, say a loud amen. If your amen is bigger than your brother's own, you're going to collect your brother's reward. That's what we have used our time to do. And my people love it so. Some subjects are difficult when they save you. I'll give you an example. Predestination. Did Christ die for the old world to save the old world? Or he died for those that God had predetermined will be saved? Ladies and gentlemen, subject in Yekisheriro. Simple subject. There are several other subjects that are not easy. Trinity is not a simple subject. God is one. And there is in three. Why are you confusing us? If he's one, tell us. If he's three, tell us. He's one and he's three. One man was talking about, I think he argued reason about Trinity, and then he concluded. He said, deny Trinity and be damned. Try to explain it and you are confused. So, believe it. You know, Peter said, referring to Paul, he said, even as a brother, Paul, according to the wisdom God gave him, has written to us in this matter, in which there are some things hard to be understood. So there are hard matters. And I said all of that to come to this. Second coming is hard. And you're going to see why it's hard. Not hard in terms of whether it's going to come or not, because your emphasis tonight is this. Well, when we're talking about eagerness waiting for him, you're not advocating death. And I agree. I agree with you. Even though me and the Lord discussed about the day of my death just a few days ago. You can't raise up prayer on family altar. Those are discussions between you and the Lord. You open your mouth. I discussed the day of my death with the Lord. You're just hearing that. I did. Everybody's stunned. I did. So, the difficulty about the second coming is not whether the Lord is coming or not. But there's this difficulty in terms of sequence of event. So, let me give you this upfront. There's a man I'm bringing in for our national convention at the First Love Assembly. It's the first time will be coming to us. Two of the speakers will be the first time. I'm bringing in one apostle, Mike Philopaku. I've listened to him. I've read him over the time. And I love it. I love it. I love his spirit. I love the man. He said he went somewhere with some of his men, some of his lieutenants. You see why I said I can't preach like he did. Me, I just want to talk and then give you things to chew, and then we have things to debate, questions to ask. This is my man, he's here. He's my co-debater. Is it called them debater or debater? I have a co-debater here. And I love it. In fact, that's what endear me to him. Apostle Mike said he went somewhere. And the man of the house was preaching, I'm preaching. And then while he was preaching, he said he stood up out of excitement. And he said some of the people that followed him were wondering why he stood up. Because they realized one of the statements the man made was not correct. And that this the apostle know that it was not correct. He said, when they got back home, he said, sir, why did you stand up when we know that thing didn't, you know, is not right? You know what he said? He said, I told them, I won't let one statement that is not right to spoil fellowship. I don't know whether you get that. Because he said one thing that I feel is out of line. Should not stop fellowship. That made sense to me. Knowing everybody or anybody will interpret the Bible exactly the way it will sit well with you. But that should not spoil fellowship. Because we know in part. We prophesy in part. And if you're sincere, the more you know, the extra part you know, you have to. If you know in part, then the other part you don't know lies with someone else. So you are depending on what someone else knows and has to offer. Are you with me? So let's keep that at the back of our mind. Having said that, let me go on to say this. The focus, like he said, is not death, it's the coming of the Lord. All genuine believers agree that he is coming again. But there is no consensus as to when this will be. Let me quickly give you, before I show you my bent, there are three schools of thought with respect to the Lord's coming. Number one, you have the pre-tribulation school of thought. The pre-tribulation school of thought believes that Christians will not go through the great tribulation. They will have been taken before the Antichrist will show and before the tribulation will start. It's number one. Number two, there is the mid-tribulation school of thought who believes, and this school believes that, believers will be here halfway into the reign of the Antichrist. That of the 7 years of reign of the Antichrist, believers will see 3.5 years. And that before things really, really get, before things become rough or fully, they're taken. The third school says, Christians will be here all through the period. And it's at the end of that tribulation that he will appear. And then take us. Do you now see why I said it's not an easy subject? And there are professors, there are theologians, there are experts who come on either side of this argument. Are you still with me? I know you'll be interested in which school I attend. For the avoidance of doubt, I go with the school that teaches that Christ's coming is in phases. And the believers will be taken from the earth before the beginning of the reign of the Antichrist. That's where I belong. That's why I say there's no, this one is not typical conference. Praise the Lord. So even if this does not agree with your school, just still, since I'm the one holding the microphone, you hear me out first. Praise the name of the Lord. But on a very more serious note, whether by the time I'm done with my second teaching tomorrow, whether you belong to the pre-tribulation or post-tribulation, it will be immaterial. Yeah, it will be immaterial which school you belong to by the time I drop my microphone tomorrow. But let me take you through a few things tonight, which I wanted to freely digest, freely think about, and then pray about. Now, I said I believe that Christ's coming will be in phases. Phase one of Christ's coming is described as a rapture. And I will focus on these a little detail, more detailedly, tonight. And phase two of Christ's coming is what is known as the glorious appearing or the revelation. The glorious appearing or revelation. I think at this point, it's good for us to do some reading. Some of these have been read already. Maybe just for emphasis, we'll go over them again. Let's do some reading, which I believe impart directly on the subject of Christ's coming, particularly with respect to the first phase of his coming. John chapter 14. John 14, verse 1, 2, 3. John chapter 14, the Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I come take you to myself, so that where I am, that is where you will be. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 has been read in part. Let me run through verses 50 to 58 quickly. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 58. "Now this I say, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. But this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, that is swallowed up in victory. Oh, then, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the Lord. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Chapter 4, I beg your pardon. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. They say you should turn to your Bible. That's why I always carry my Bible in his back, okay? But this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We meet him in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. From that moment when we meet him in the air, we will forever be with him. So therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, by the way, the word rapture is not in the Bible. The word rapture is from a Latin word which means to be snatched away, to be caught away. But see, there are other words that are not in the Bible. We use Bible is not in the Bible. Trinity is not in the Bible. But these are all accepted to be defining certain fundamental beliefs of our faith. So the Father, Son, is not in the Bible, does not make it irrelevant. University is not in the Bible, and you went to one. Polytechnic is not in the Bible. You went to one. So, don't let that trouble you. But I think salient assignment for me, tomorrow I'll be able to dwell on the second aspect of the Lord's the second phase of the Lord's coming. I have broken it into two. The first is the rapture, which is meeting the Lord in the air. The second, which is talking about the appearing, that's where the Bible says all eyes will see him, including those who pierce his side. That's when once again he will touch his feet on Mount Olives. That is the appearing. But let me go through some reasons why I believe Christians will not go through the tribulation. You don't have to take this. And you know, like I said, this subject is an ever-evolving one. If I see a different light tomorrow, I'll let you know. But let me say, go through a few things while I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the saints. Number one, most Christians have already endured persecution and troubles in the course of trying to live for Christ. That humanly speaking, and I may be wrong, that humanly speaking, I cannot figure out what extra tribulation will do for them. Bishop, is it funny? Iyatawan kanti je laye. Because they believe in Christ. Some have been disowned. Some have been disinherited. It could be the reason why some singles are not married now. So I do not understand. I will show you scripture. Humanly speaking, what extra thing, the great tribulation we do suffer for believers. Let me see your hand if you have ever suffered anything for Christ. If you have ever. Some of your uncle said, if that is the way you want to, don't let me see you in this house again. Parents have renounced their children. So, as I'm humanly speaking, I do not know what going through tribulation for this group of people we do again. I do not know what the Lord will achieve with them going through. Because we have suffered all our life. See, I was swinging. I'm only kidding. That's on the human angle. That's just the reasoning as a human being. But let's see this. Number two, the Bible says, and this I believe, now I'm more from human reason now, I'm reasoning through scripture. The Bible said that Christians have been delivered from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9, for they themselves declare concerning us, am I reading correctly? Yeah, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you and how you turn. God have mercy. And how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, that's eagerly waiting, and wait for His Son from whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. There's a wrath coming. But the Bible says we are delivered from that wrath. Number three, the Bible says that Christ will come with His saints. If He will come with His saints, that implies that they must have been with Him at some time prior. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. You see why I'm saying that this kind of thing is not catching you. Say yeah, say yeah. You can't, there's no way to, there's no you, there's no or you or your. Go, doesn't show here. And may the Lord make you, is that the right reference? Just on the short 3, 12 to 13. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do. So that He may establish your heart blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. If He will come with the saints, that presupposes the saints must have been with Him at some point. Even though I've had the explanation before that those who subscribe to the post-tribulation school, that when Christ comes, the saints, we meet Him in the air and just like ushering Him back to the earth. That, I've had that kind of explanation. But my point here is this, if they are going to come with them, they must have been with him. All right. Number four. The Bible states the condition that will obtain under the Antichrist. One of such is that people will be compelled to take his mark, the absence of which it will be impossible to buy and sell. I figure that that time will be a time of great distress for believers if they were to be here. I don't know whether did I make that clear? I should come again. There are certain things that we know will operate under the Antichrist. One of them is that no one will be able to buy or sell without a mark in his forehead, the mark of the beast, or in his hand. Is that right? And I said, I figure out that would be a time of great distress for believers if they are to be here. That if you cannot buy, I want to imagine what we went through in this country just before the election, when cashless policy, you don't have the card, you don't have the cash. It was a miserable thing. That if you don't have the mark of the beast, you will not be able to buy, you will not be able to sell. That's going to be a time of great temptation for believers, for Christians, if they are here. Now, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted. Tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, I personally feel, of course, some people believe that such temptation, when you come by yourself without the mark of the beast, if you don't take the mark as a believer, then miraculous provision will happen. That's possible. But I personally feel that I find it difficult to subscribe to him, that God will subject his people to that stress with respect to commerce as obtainable under the Antichrist. Please, these things are all, you know, Paul will say, consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding. Some of these things should be taken to the school of Tyrannus and then to be debated until we are able to come to the same page. So, number five, and I think this is, we are getting closer to more important points. There are two examples in the Old Testament that can serve as type and shadow of the rapture. Was it Augustine who said that the New Testament in whole is veiled, and the whole in new explained? That the New Testament is veiled, is covered in the whole, and the Old Testament is explained in the new. So many of the things you read in the New Testament, if you check the Old Testament, you will see it veiled. It's not clear, but it's there. We have two examples of what can serve as type and shadow of the rapture in the Old Testament. One was this. One was Enoch. In Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. Genesis 5, 21 to 24. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and he was not. For he pleased God. What does that mean that he was not? Hebrews tells us that by faith, Enoch did not see death, because before his translation, he obtained the report that he pleased God. So he was taken. Chapter 5. Are you still with me? In chapter 6 of Genesis, God started complaining. Allow me to use the word. The ways of men are corrupt on the surface of the earth. They have all been corrupted. I'm going to bring judgment and wipe them off. So it took him in chapter 5. He brings judgment in chapter 7. He took him before the judgment of the flood. Second example of a type and shadow that we can use is this. It's about Lot. Genesis 19 verses 22 to 24. Genesis 19, 22 to 24. Hurry! That's the angel talking to Lord. Hurry! Escape there! For I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lord entered Zoar. Then, the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. God waited for Lot to be pulled out of Sodom. And then the wrath fell. These are two examples, which for me are like types and shadow. He pulled Enoch out in chapter 5. The judgment of the flood came. He pulled Lot out of Sodom. And then the fire came down to consume the city. Now look at this. Incidentally, in Luke chapter 17, in Luke 17 verse 26, Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. What happened then is what will be repeated now. This kind of teaching is not always interesting. Is it? You know, everybody's quiet. He's not as sweet as me saying, you will succeed. You buy your car. All the enemies that are standing in your way, before you leave here, they're all dead. As it was in the days of Noah. Before Noah, Enoch was pulled. Then, Jesus, in the same chapter of Luke, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. In other words, as it was in the days of Lot also. So, these are types and shadow. We have it embedded in the Old Testament, which will play out in the new. I think one more thing, and this is important. This is very important. The Great Tribulation, which we are debating whether believers will go through or not, the Great Tribulation cannot take place until the wicked one is revealed. We're going to read the Bible shortly about that. And the wicked one will not be revealed until the hinderer is taken out of the way. Can I go over that again? Or let's read the Bible so the Bible can explain. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 6 to 7. When I'm done with this, I'll just leave it to you to just take it or leave it, and then we'll just talk a bit about what happens when the Lord appears. I think that's the main cross of the matter, really. Praise the name of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. What should we do? Let's start from 4. It's an interesting read. Let's begin from verse 4. 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed. The man of sin is same person as the wicked, same person as Satan, same person. That's the man of sin. The man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God. Wait a minute, I can dwell on this. He sits in the temple as God. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no temple in place now. The place of the temple, oh God is so marvelous. The place of the temple is where you have the Dome of the Rock currently in Jerusalem. It's a holy, holy place. I think it's the second or third most holy place for the Muslims. It's under the control of the Muslims today. But if this scripture be fulfilled, that the Antichrist will enter the temple and speak great and swelling words from there, that means a temple will come into that place. Can I say to you too, that's not cheap meat. It can't happen, sir. It cannot happen. Not now. I love you. He's my co-debater. On this subject, he's my co-debater. I was listening to, 30 minutes to go. Who will go? I was listening to someone, a teacher, and said, some people have imagined maybe a Muslim would be, the Antichrist would be a Muslim. And the person, a Jew, was talking. And they said, he cannot imagine a Muslim, an Arab, build a thing that will favor a Jew. It's not going to happen. This is why I said, you may be right, sir. I know, I've read that a lot of preparations are going on. All the furniture of the temple have been prepared. And priests have been groomed to bring back the animal sacrifice to the temple. I understand all of that. But the person who will build that place, if anyone attempts to build a temple now, you're going to start the Third World War immediately. The person, to my mind, the only person who can do that is someone that the whole world will have surrendered their sovereignty to and will have universal control. And that's going to be the Antichrist. Does that make sense, sir? That is the only man, I believe, who can issue the edict to build a temple without causing war. He's going to be the Antichrist. This is why I said it cannot be built now. Because the Antichrist is not yet revealed. Convener, I hope I've not spoiled your meeting. Let me explain something and then we go. I can't finish what I want to say tonight. Let's take something home and begin to digest them. Now, let's read it. He's talking about the Antichrist who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or is worshipped, so that he is seen as God in the temple of God. There is no temple of God in place now. except we want to give this a spiritual interpretation. That means the temple will be built and the Antichrist, that is what is called the great abomination. The great abomination of desolation, because it's going to desecrate the temple of God. That temple is not in place. Now, it cannot be in place now because the Antichrist, we don't even know the personality. He's not there. And while I believe it cannot be revealed now, is the scripture. Who sees that as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God? Now read on. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining. That he may take note of that. Underline the word war. And you know what is restraining. That he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. The spirit of the Antichrist is already reigning. Now listen to this. The Bible tells us part of the things that will happen under his reign is that he will seek to change laws. Natural laws will change. Those laws are changing. The laws about sexes, that are change. John sent me a picture of some things. They're teaching children in school that the children should not listen to what their parents are saying about their gender, that they shouldn't tell them whether they are male or female. They should just, whatever they feel, that's who they are. They shouldn't listen to their parents. They have changed the law. The spirit is already at work. It's the personality that we are waiting for. I understand Mexico now. I read that yesterday. Mexico has formally decriminalize abortion. That is, it's not the same. It's not the same to take life. The laws are changing already. The spirit of the Antichrist is at work already. But he now says the personality of the Antichrist cannot come into full manifestation because something is in the reigning. I'm making a point here. The point is this. The great tribulation cannot come until the Antichrist comes because he will be the architect of it. And the Antichrist cannot come because something is hindering it. That thing that is hindering it will have to be removed from the way, and then it will come in full force. So the mystery is this. Verse 8. Back to 7. Thank you. For the mystery of lawlessness is ready at work. Only he who now restrain will do so until he is taken out of the way. In verse 6, he said, what? In verse 7, he said, he and who? Let me suggest. The what? Give us verse 6 again. And now you know what is keeping him from coming. Remember, if he doesn't come, the great tribulation cannot start. You know what is restraining, keeping him from being revealed. There's a what in verse 6, and there's a e in verse 7. The what is the church. The E is the spirit that restrains the works of restraining inside of believers. When that is taken out of the way, he will be revealed. Then that can usher in the great terror. That's why I said, I don't think the temple can be built now because the only person that we have the war we listen to give such decree, You know how much trouble it is for Trump to rename the capital of Israel, to move it to Jerusalem. You know how many presidents have been trying to say that. Clinton tried. Obama tried. The Yoruba will say, "Oma koma lojo tie." That a bad child has his own day. So Trump, who doesn't care, doesn't respect anybody, he just said, from today, the capital is Jerusalem. Took them years for someone of that character to be able to say that. It will take someone. I'm not saying Donald Trump is Antichrist, so please don't go out here and say Donald Trump is Antichrist. What I'm saying, it will take such a character to be able to say, you can build a temple now. That's the temple that he himself will go and desecrate. And at the end of the reign of his reign, that's when God, with his breath, would destroy him. Are you more confused than when you came? That's why I said there are difficult subjects. This is one of them. But I just wanted to listen and reason to the last point I made here. The Great Tribulation will not start unless the Antichrist comes. The Antichrist cannot come until what restrains it is taken out of the way. Except anyone can explain to me what is what and who is he. If the what is not the church and the he is not the Holy Spirit, I'd like to know who is the what. What is the what? And who is the E? Because this will keep restraining the Antichrist from coming and from unleashing the reign of terror. But if the word is the church and the He is the Spirit that will be taken out of the way, then the pre-tribulation theory of the rapture holds for me. I know there are strong arguments for post-tribulation. I don't have time to get into that tonight. And I don't even have enough time to tell you what happens when rapture takes place. Whether it's pre-tribulation or post-tribulation, there are things that will happen. Hopefully tomorrow I'll be able to start from there. Thank you for listening.